I am here with the chamber players of Tempesta di Mare, the Philadelphia Chamber Orchestra. They've been here this morning. They're just about to set off to Indianapolis for an early music festival, but they have come to give us a wonderful program that's inspired by the Itzig sisters, who come from a very, very interesting family and who had salons in their homes back in the 1780s, and they had a very, very big influence on music. But before we get to the program, and we'll do it very, very soon, I'd like you all to introduce yourselves, please.
Well, I'm Gwen Roberts. I play recorder and Baroque flute.
I'm Lisa Terry. I play cello today.
I'm Adam Pearl. I play harpsichord.
I'm Richard Stone. I play lute.
I'm Daniela Pearson. I play viola.
I'm Emlyn Nye. I play violin.
And welcome to WRTI. Thank you for coming here and being able to play this program for us. We were talking yesterday, Gwen, about how the history of music is usually told in terms of the composers, who are male. And this is much, much different here. These three sisters had a very big influence on the history of music with their love of J.S. Bach, and all the others, really, that they kept alive in their collections. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a very interesting set of women. They are three of the 15 children of Frederick the Great's finance minister, Daniel Itzig. Daniel Itzig really cared about music and made sure that all of his kids had a great musical education. These three sisters each had salons and influenced what we now think about in terms of Baroque music in a really interesting way. Sarah Itzig was the most active as a performer, and she had a salon in Berlin where she kept the love of J.S. Bach and the Bach family alive. Bella Itzig was also a harpsichordist. She is the grandmother of Felix Mendelssohn and has a direct influence on how we had a Bach revival in the 19th century, because she had a copy made of the St. Matthew Passion for her grandson. Fanny Itzig von Arnheim moved to Vienna and had a salon there where Mozart was a lodger as a young man and learned to love Handel and Bach through her.
So, but for, you could say that these sisters really, really had an influence on the music that we're hearing today.
Yes, they were musicians, they were tastemakers, which is really important, and they belong in the story of music history.
Let's get into the first piece.
Okay. The first piece is a movement from one of Bach's organ trio sonatas, which was in the collection of all three sisters, and which they performed both in its original form for one keyboard with pedals, but also more frequently in various arrangements that they made. So this is our arrangement of the fifth of those organ trio sonatas for our full chamber ensemble.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Meredy Duddleston, and we're here in the WRTI Performance Studio with the Chamber Players of Tempesta di Mare. They are here performing a program from the collections of the Itzig sisters, who are three sisters who grew up in a prominent family from Berlin in the 1780s. And we are going to keep hearing music from this collection all morning, or during this particular program. And I wanted to ask you, Richard, you were just in Vienna in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And you learned something more about Fanny, her maiden name was Itzig, when you were on this trip, and about the salons that they used to have, and women would have in their homes back then.
Right. So when I was in Vienna, I went to the city of Vienna's Jewish Museum, and there was... It was complete happenstance. It happened to have been a bus poster about this exhibit in Vienna about the Salonniers, and it was called The Place to Be. Mm-hmm. And Fanny Arnstein was the star of it because she was the earliest of them represented there, and it went on from there to be about all this whole history of Salonniers as tastemakers, and also as people important in politics, people who would host these events at their homes that would lead to important social changes, like the First Vienna Congress, for instance. Mm-hmm. That all happened out of the Vienna salons that Fanny Itzig von Arnstein got going in Vienna.
They were a philanthropic family as well.
They were also
particularly Fanny.
Yeah, Fanny was very involved with a charity to raise money so that Jewish girls would have an education, so they wouldn't need to rely on a husband in order to be independent. They could support themselves independently rather than needing to get married.
So they use their power in many ways.
Yes.
And the next piece that we're going to hear is also from the collection of one of the sisters, and please introduce it.
So this is from one of the collections, the huge collection of Sarah Itzig Levy, yeah. Who was herself a virtuosic harpsichordist, and this is written by her teacher, who was Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, the oldest son of Johann Sebastian Bach. Sarah not only played music by the Bach family, she also performed in public on harpsichord well into the 19th century. We think about, she had an incredibly long life. We think about harpsichord as being a Baroque instrument, but Sarah was performing Bach's Fifth Brandenburg and D minor harpsichord concerto in public at the Berlin Zing Academy, an organization to which the family belonged, in the early 19th century, which is kind of extraordinary. So this is a trio sonata by Wilhelm Friedemann Bach for flute, violin, and continuo.
Great.
I'll keep talking for a second because Richard is still tuning, which happens when you've got gut strings. Are you done? Okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you very, very much. We're here in the WRTI Performance Studio with the Chamber Players of Tempesta di Mare, which is a Philadelphia-based Baroque Chamber Orchestra. And we are listening to a program of music that is sometimes referred to music from the collections and salons of Sarah and her sisters, three sisters who grew up in Berlin in the 1780s. You know, a lot has been written about this music since it was sort of rediscovered. And Gwen, I know it was rediscovered and not that long ago. Could you tell us something about the story about that?
Sure. Well, the music from Sarah Levy's collection, through her lifetime, since she had so much music, she would periodically give bunches of music to the Berlin Zing Academy, which was a community music organization, kind of like Settlement Music School here, but with adult choir and orchestra as well. And I think my imagination about this is that she probably just wanted more room for the next stuff that she was going to acquire. But she gave a lot of music to the Zing Academy in the course of her lifetime, as did many other people. The Zing Academy collection grew such that by the end of the 19th century, there were things there, including Beethoven autographs. When Bella brought the, when Bella's daughter brought back the Bach family archive from her honeymoon, that went on deposit at the Zing Academy. So huge quantities of music. And then happened World War II. And the Germans were wanting to preserve important cultural treasures. So they stashed the Zing Academy music in Poland for safekeeping, which turned out not to be a great move, really, because the Red Army swept it up on their way back and distributed it among the spoils of war to the various SSRs, as they were doing with other things that they got back. And it was lost, eventually retrieved, finally, after a lot of sleuthing, in Kiev in 1999 and 2000, and repatriated to Berlin, where it now lives at the Berlin Staatsbibliothek, the State Library.
So this next piece by Cavance might not have been discovered, but for that repatriation.
Exactly. And of course, the musicologists were so hot on this trail because they wanted to find the Bach family archive. Mm-hmm. But thanks to that quest for Bach, we also have all these other things.
And what are you going to play next?
This is the first movement of a quartet, also in Sarah's collection, by Johann Joachim Quantz. Quantz was Frederick the Great's flute teacher, but he probably wrote this piece quite a bit earlier when he was in Dresden. This is for flute, violin, viola, and continuo.
And Sarah's husband was a flutist, right?
Yes, he was, exactly.
So he would have played this in their home.
He was one of several really good flutists in her circle, but certainly the most important one. The other thing that's distinctive of her music collection, besides good parts for harpsichord in general, because she was a harpsichordist, is virtuosic viola parts. She had a couple of very hot viola players in her circle, so she made sure the music used them well.
Thank you.
What was that?
listening to the Chamber Players of Tempesta di Mare. They are here in the WRTI Performance Studio, and they're performing selections from the collections of three sisters who lived in Berlin in the late 1800s, or grew up there. One moved to Vienna. And Tempesta di Mare has 12 albums out, but one of its albums this year is from the collections of Sarah and her sisters. Richard, can you tell me about that?
Sure, yes. We did a recording of music by the next composer coming up, Johann Gottlieb Janitsch, who is a composer more of her father's generation, but Sarah was very fond of him, and she collected his music fairly encyclopedically. All of the music that's on that recording is both from Sarah's collection and repatriated from Kiev.
And so much has been, since this music was rediscovered more or less, so much has been written about this. You have information about this on your website, right?
Yes, if you go to our website and you blog, go to our website and use the search engine that's there and just type in Itzig or Levy and it will show up at least two articles by Ann Hunter, our intrepid correspondent, wrote some really good articles on the Levies, the Itzigs. Yeah.
Because the story is really, it's so interesting. And, you know, as you were saying, Gwen, but for the Itzig sisters, who knows if the Bach revival would have happened, because there's such a connection.
That's entirely true. There was a contemporary writer who mentioned Sarah Salon, wrote about Sarah Salon and said it is a veritable cult of the Bach family going on there. Mm. And if we think about timing, Sarah was born in 1764, but Johann Sebastian Bach, as we know, died in 1750. So she was really very much interested in music that was already antique by the standards of the time. She collected much music from that generation and from the next one, from the Bach sons, and then from other composers of a like mind to those, and continued to play their music throughout her very long life, which went into the 1850s. So she very much is a direct personal link, keeping that music alive so that her great nephew Felix Mendelssohn could encounter it at the Zing Academy where he was taking his music lessons, mm-hmm. fall in love with Bach fugues, and then receive that famous copy of the St. Matthew Passion, which was commissioned by his grandmother Bella Itzig mm-hmm. for his 14th birthday.
Will you introduce the next piece?
Sure. The next piece is, as we said, by Johann Gottlieb Janitsch. And this is a really interesting first movement. It is in the style of a recitative, which is, of course, something from opera. In an opera, you have recitative and you have aria. And the recit is where the story gets told so that you can then set up the next aria, which talks about how you feel about that part of the story, generally. So in this recit, I, the flute player, am actually the singer. So it takes that idea of Baroque music as speech, as rhetoric, to an extreme, and actually puts me in the role of a singer.
Let's go for it. Thank you. That was beautiful. I could hear the conversation in my head, Gwen. The conversation you were talking about that you were thinking about when you were preparing to play this music.
Yeah, I had to write a story to figure out what my character was experiencing and to make there be, you know, a progression of the story forward in the course of the recitative.
You're listening to the Chamber Players of Tempesta di Mare, the Philadelphia Baroque Orchestra. They're here in our performance studio for a performance of music from the collections of Sarah and her sisters. And we have one more thing coming up. And I think, Richard, you were going to tell us a little bit about this. This ties in with the Mozart story relating to the sisters and one of the sisters who lived in Vienna, who I'm going to let you tell the rest of the story.
Oh, okay.
Because it's great.
So this is the Turkish thing?
Yes.
Yeah, the Turkish thing. So why would Mozart write a story about a harem in Turkey? Well, what happened in Vienna was that Turkey tried to run over the city in the 17th century. And so that didn't happen. They held off the Turkish army in Vienna, and all was restored to as we now know it now. But one of the interesting things was that when I was doing my research there, I was in Heiligenkreuz in Wienerwald, which is this village outside of Vienna, in the Vienna woods, very romantic, very beautiful. And I was at this abbey to research a particular composer from the 18th century, one of Haydn's teachers. Name is Gerd Reuter, but that's neither here nor there. This abbey, which had been in continuous operation since 1133 when it was founded, had at one point, according to Pater Roman, the archivist there who was my handler at the abbey, made sure I didn't steal anything, he said, well, we had this great 17th century composer there, but then when the Turkish army came, they burnt down that part of the archive. So it's completely lost. But anyway, so there is this complete fascination in Austria with things Turkish.
And so then we have Mozart was tied in with the sisters.
That's right.
And I don't think our audience knows that, so we have to tell them a little. That's a great story.
I thought that's what you wanted
in and of itself. No, so that's fine.
Mozart was Fanny von Arnstein's lodger. He was a kid, living a young man living upstairs in her house.
Yeah, he was 25 at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we right. teach at conservatory.
Right.
Those are still kids. And if there's a boy, their brains aren't fully developed yet.
Yes. And at that time, mm-hmm. he was actually composing Abduction from the Seraglio.
While he was living in her house, he composed the Abduction from the Seraglio, which we are going to play a movement from in a contemporary chamber arrangement. One of the things people did with operas was they wanted to take them home. And since we don't yet have, you know, streaming audio or radio or even, you know, discs to take home, one of the ways you could take home opera was in a chamber arrangement, so you could play it at your house. Mozart also was influenced by Fanny Itzig von Arnheim in that she also had a salon which celebrated the music of Bach and Handel, among others. And Mozart encountered that there. That's how we wound up with Mozart's reorchestration of Handel's Messiah. Beethoven also encountered Bach and Handel through Fanny in Vienna.
So let's hear this last selection. This is great. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been listening to a program by the Chamber Players of Tempesta di Mare. They're here in the WRTI Performance Studio. We really do want to thank you so much today for coming in. This has been a very, very great program. And I want to thank you, Gwen, Lisa, Adam, and Richard, Daniela, and Emlyn. Thank you so much for coming in. It's a wonderful, wonderful series of music.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.